for once it was right on time.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Wiki Curiosity Media, its affiliates, or its parent company, Angel's Hand. Wiki Curiosity Media, changing the view of the world around you.
Coming to you live from the Wiki Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
First thing about all, first is promise. This is gold. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I am your host, Dan. Joining me in the studio tonight is the lovely Miss Angel.
Hello.
And Austin.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Ann.
Hello.
You can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. And that brings you directly into the studio with us. You can also check us out on Facebook. Go up into the search bar, type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. We'll be the first one that pops up. Click on us. Click that like, share, and follow button. Be kept up to date on everything going on in Behind the Screen world. Also, head on over to Wiki Curiosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, share, and follow. From their page, you can access the website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. On the Facebook page, you can access our blogs that need to be updated. You can access our pictures that need to be updated. You can also access our YouTube channel, Wiki Curiosity Media, that needs to be updated. What does not need to be updated, however, is the link to every single show that has ever been on any Wiki Curiosity platform ever. Wiki Curiosity Radio Network and Wiki Curiosity Media. You can access every show from the very, very beginning. You can see how we've evolved, how we've changed, and, you know, how bad we were at the beginning. Also, what else?
I mean, that's about it. You have this shit down.
All right. There was one thing I was going to say. I don't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Go over and access, or not access, who? Go to Facebook. Check out our mascots page, Ulysses. U-L-Y-S-E-S. It's the Adventures of Ulysses. As of right now, he is the mascot for Wiki Curiosity Media. So, there's some posts up there that that you can check out and go take a look at.
He's pretty awesome.
He is.
We like Ulysses. He's fun. He's been a pretty cool, you know, hangout buddy for the last week.
He is. Arthur. His twin brother that came in.
Yeah, he's currently...
So Arthur's more of an outgoing person than Ulysses is. Ulysses just kind of likes to hang out in the house and you know, just kind of hang out with us. He's more of an introvert, whereas... Arthur will go stand out in the front yard completely butt-ass naked, get drenched with blood, and scare people.
Yeah, he likes it. As a matter of fact, it was kind of fun because yesterday we were sitting out on the porch, and our neighbor's little boy ran outside and looked across the street and said, "What's that skeleton's name?" And both his mom and his grandma were like, "His name's Arthur."
Oh, yeah.
So, we know some people are
falling. He gets around.
That's not right.
But whatever. I don't care.
Not like that.
I didn't mean it like that.
So, anyway, if you are keeping up with the Facebook page, you will have noticed that it is officially the start of Halloween here in the Wiki Curiosity Media household and at the studio. We've got the yard decorations out. We've got the house decorations going up. There's blood starting to go everywhere. Lights are going up.
It's a Halloween wonderland.
It's an interesting time here in the Wiki Curiosity Media household.
We love it.
Yeah.
We love it. As a matter of fact, today we finally, I mean, we don't leave, especially as a big group, very often. And we loaded everybody up this morning and went to the only Halloween store in this part of Tennessee. I mean, there's two of them, just the only one with that name. Like, there's no other Halloween stores. And
yeah,
all the kids got to, we spent quite a while in there while all the kids wandered all over the place, mulling over which costume was going to be perfect. I think everybody made pretty good choices. Poor Liam turned out to be a little oddly shaped, but we'll tweak it, fix it, work it
probably
out. Yeah. I feel like somebody swapped like a medium shirt for a large shirt and stuck it back on the shelf. And then his vest was like super huge. I don't know. It was a little weird, but he likes it. He's a good kid.
Well, we can always go back and get him a new one.
Yeah, we tweaked it. We're good.
Okay.
My only concern, because I was tired and sometimes I don't always think things through clearly, was because it's a form of some sort of SWAT or police officer type person. He got himself a weapon. I just need him to be super careful on Halloween because people are fucking stupid.
Right, but it literally does not look like a... I mean, the colors of it literally do not look like a real weapon.
Only the end. It's got the orange cap on the end.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need anybody being stupid. I will punch somebody in the face.
Karen, sorry, fucking drama.
Well,
just since it makes noise and I didn't know it did that either.
Well, I'll be carrying my real...
toy?
Yeah.
Okay.
My real toy with us, just in case.
Be like, back up, Karen.
Right. Back up, bitch.
But it was fun. It was, I am the least shoppy person in this house. I hate going and spending money. But I love seeing my kids just have freedom to just be like, this is what I want. And Dad be like, okay. I'll admit, they all look great.
So, I mean, we went in there and I literally had a cap on a price that, on what
like,
we were going to spend.
Get over this.
Yeah. And nobody knew the price. Nobody knew what the cap was because I didn't want everybody being like, oh, well, we can't get this because it might be over. So I had this, you know, cap in my head, and we were, we were pretty much well below it.
Yeah, we met it through the rest of the day, though.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we met the rest of the cap, you know, with the rest of the shopping that we had to do today.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
But it was fun. It was nice to get out, get a little retail therapy. The kids haven't gotten to do that in a while. You know, they don't normally, especially between October and December, new stuff doesn't happen. Every time they ask for something, I'm like, cool, put it on your Christmas list, because that's where we're at now.
Right.
And so, like, it's just fun to be able to see them have that little bit of freedom and just be like, yep, this is what I want. And I will admit, our youngest looks so freaking awesome in her costume. So does Katie, though. Katie looks like a very, very pretty princess. Not like Cinderella princess, like regal.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Miss Anne in hers yet.
No, I'm probably going to try it on after
we're done. She was the last one to pick out a costume, by the way.
Well, it's because I didn't think we were actually picking out a costume. I thought we were just, you know, getting cool shit for our own house. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't wait to see her in her costume either.
So this was the...
This was the day.
Yeah, this was the costume shopping.
No pink stuff, sadly. There was pink ears, but that was it.
I think your costume actually fits you, and with whatever Austin's working his costume out to be, I think it's going to look pretty cool, you two together. I can't wait to see it together.
Yeah. I had suggested a couple of, like, union costumes for them, like union suits, and they just both kind of looked at me like,
I know,
I
went down the aisle, and I was like, look, here's a couple of cute little couple costumes, and also just like, whatever.
It's like, you can't be that close that long.
It could have been Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
You literally could have been peanut butter and jelly.
That's true.
Austin could have been peanut butter and could have been jelly.
Yep.
What's that supposed to
mean? You like jelly on your toast?
Yeah.
That is very true.
And Austin's thick.
That's true.
I have a feeling my guy's not going to be able to time out tonight.
Right? Like, you need to trip over everything.
I got a natural 20. Yep, nope, still didn't do it. So, all right, what else is going on? We have new merchandise that might be available soon.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Really? Really? Shut up.
The only people that are allowed to have that are the people that have done it.
Yeah, it's only you. You only
okay.
are the only one.
Okay, well, there. I'm going to have new merchandise.
I'm not wearing that.
I'm not.
I'll wear it.
I'll wear my shirt.
I'll wear it proudly.
Yeah.
Austin will wear that proudly.
You go for it. Well, so last Sunday, we had a bit of an issue with broadcasting.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. It seemed...
That was an all-over issue, though.
I think it was, but it seemed like every time we said one specific thing, it kind of...
Like it literally just dropped.
Yeah. Like, we would say something, and it'd be like, hey, no.
At the end of the show, I should test it.
At the end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
But we got dropped a couple times last week when we were trying to review Gemini Man.
Yeah.
Last week, which, you know,
we really didn't get the review at all.
We didn't. Quick review, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Was it? I think that they could have done a little better with some parts of the CGI, but for the most part, it was a really cool movie.
Yeah.
They did recreate an entire person.
I'm just saying, like, there was, I'll never forget it. There was one point in the movie where the mask dropped, and it was plainly not Will Smith.
Right. Well, there was one part for me where it had looked like they had used the same engine that they used in The Matrix Revelations. I can't think of the other one.
Oh, no.
Oh, well. Anyway. It was the same types of movements with Matrix, it was the same type of CGI animation. It was that I'm trying too hard to be real to be fake.
Yeah.
Right. But I will say the motorcycle scene made up for any type of little glitches that there were in the movie.
The motorcycle scene was really cool. So was when he released the second clone. And he was running through the city or whatever. Like, that was pretty...
The
super feet. Fast one?
Yeah. The parkour?
Yeah, the Sonic the Hedgehog one?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But, no, it was a good movie. You should go see it.
Yeah.
You should rent it. You can't go see it.
No, you can't. You can rent it, though.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't really have to rent it. If you have Prime, you can watch it.
Yeah, it's there. It's free.
So, but yeah. So, but I am excited about this month. I'm really excited about this month because this is the month where... Not only in the house, but on the network and in both of the BTS shows, we get to kind of really let loose.
Yeah.
And it is all focused on horror-themed movies and stuff like that. And I mean, that's really my bread and butter. And so this is where we get to watch the movies where we don't normally get to watch. We get to talk about them. So, and that begins, I mean, actually, it kind of begins tonight with, you know, the movie Get Out that we're watching tonight, which is kind of a horror thriller type movie, and continues on throughout the rest of the month. So,
well, much like Jordan Peele movies, it's a horror thriller type, but you have to think.
Yeah.
Like, you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
I've watched it twice now, and I was watching through it. And there was no point, honestly, for me, this was an action movie, because there was no point where it felt horror.
Okay.
I
have to kind of disagree, but that's from my point of view, and we'll get to that after, you know, here in a little bit when we actually start diving into the movie. But this month for Behind the Screen, we're going to be for Movie of the Week and Cinephiles, especially for Cinephiles, we're going to be diving deep and hardcore into the horror genre. We're going to be talking about like Rob Zombie movies. What movies we like best and why, like the different types of horror genres, and just really diving deep into what horror really is. So, I'm actually looking forward to that, and I know Anna's looking forward to that because I talked to her about what Wednesday show is going to be, and I mean, she was right on board. Right off the bat. So.
Well, I will say that I have not, we're 4 days into the month, and I've already started my daily dose of Halloween movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
oh, yeah.
Mine are obviously not, because I'm home with kids all day, but I have already watched Hocus Pocus once, and that'll be, like, once of so many times this month that it will be watched.
Well, one of the things that I like is when, like, TV channels really get into the spirit season like they used to when we were kids.
Yes.
Because there was a long time there that they really didn't focus on. And there's one TV channel, Freeform, that has literally been playing nothing but, like, scary movies. Halloween. Not overtly scary, because, you know, it's more of a kids channel. You know, they'll play like the original Ghostbusters movie, and you know the older Halloween movies. And it was cool to just put it on and let it play, and I would watch something. I'd go out, mow the grass, come back in, and part two would be on, or Beetlejuice would be on. And it's nice to see that these channels are going back to that style of broadcasting.
Yeah, because I'll put on movies throughout the day, while the kids are in school. And when they go on breaks or whatever, like, they're all about it.
Oh, yeah.
And watch the movies. And we have a little one that comes over, and him and I have watched multiple Halloween-themed movies. And he's, like, right there. It's just one of the few times that he likes to, like, just sit and chill. And he does. I love Halloween movies and Christmas movies. I love when we can get, it's not about watching, like, damn, there's a lot. It's not like watching, you know, like, the scariest movie I can get. It's what makes me feel like, because I'm very family-oriented, so, and very focused on my kids, it's what gets me into that, like, I'm ready to have fun,
yeah,
spirit, and I need that.
Right.
So it's something that kind of hypes me up, like, okay, let's
watch season, which is all of October, is part family horror. I don't want them throughout the rest of the year, but they really have an impact this time of the year because of the season. But I get to watch the ones that I can't watch with the kids around. But at the same time, I also get to watch the family ones.
Yes.
And sometimes the family ones are a lot more enjoyable than the regular, you know, than just regular horror, because they incorporate all aspects of what Halloween is. you know, yeah, I love to put scary things out in the yard and stuff like that, but it's not to the point where kids don't want to come up. You know, it's scary where, oh my God, that is awesome and creepy, but kids aren't running away from my you know, shitting and pissing down the street. No, I don't want to. We did that.
Yeah, they did.
But, okay, did, you know, had a human sacrifice on our front porch with the devil there. And the kids were like, oh my God, this is so cool. And the adults were like, oh no, don't go up there. It's all satanic. And I walked to the fucking Bible Belt. But, you know, that's what I like to do when it comes to decorating for Halloween. I like to have those decorations up to where kids are like, oh my God, that is awesome. He's got a wolf head on a stick with blood all over it, and it's got a strobe light on it, and he's got this hanging, he's got that hanging, and it's kind of creepy, spooky.
Yeah.
But it's still kid friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, it's not too bad.
No, I mean, I
don't do the cute, like, blow up shit, but.
No, I don't do cutesy. I do creepy. I don't do cutesy. No, I don't even do that shit for Christmas.
I wish we had, like, super scary stuff, though. But, like, I know we can't for children.
I mean,
but, like, I still wish we had.
The hell is that?
Woodpecker.
Yeah,
I think so.
But
I want a fucking cat. They're like, put the bucket.
Probably. But yeah, I mean, one year I would like to have a house where it is absolutely creepy.
Oh yeah.
You know, where it is kind of where kids are and adults are both kind of hesitant.
Like, do we want to knock on the door?
Well, at that point, I would still have the candy bowl down at the bottom.
Yeah, we tend to, I mean, I suggest it for our neighborhood just in light of COVID, but in wanting to restrict trick-or-treating. But
you.
Generally, we are either on our front porch, we are outside
yeah.
participating. One, it's super fun to see the kids and all their costumes and kind of get into the moment, but also, like, it's just easier. It's easier. My dog barks. I don't want people knocking my door every 2 seconds. Like,
and it's actually more enjoyable if the, you know, if the people that live at the house actually are out participating.
Yes.
You know, because they could just be sitting around doing absolutely nothing. I mean, back in the day, it was different. Back when we were middle kids, it was different because it was that excitement of going up and ringing the doorbell and then somebody dressed in,
yes.
you know, some weird costume coming out and, you know, trying to play scare kids and stuff like that and, you know, and then you give them candy.
It's kind of boring here.
It is. Oh, son of a bitch.
I'll admit, even my mom, when I was a kid, because, you know, my mom's all about some Halloween, she would get herself either, like, she'd get something, like a cape and a witch's hat, and she'd put a little bit of makeup on. She would always dress up to answer the door for the kids. I always thought that was kind of fun because, I mean, anybody that knows my mom knows that she tends to be a little more on the serious side.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was always nice when she would kind of get into it. She didn't really do the whole trick-or-treat. Thankfully, I was born in a time when I could just go trick-or-treating because after my brother left home, I could just go with my friends.
Yeah, it was a different time.
Yeah. And when he was home, he had to be trick-or-treating because she was like,
No.
I don't do it.
No. Yeah. But nowadays, you can't just let kids go and roam and...
No. I mean, I have an almost 12-year-old, and I wouldn't let him just go trick-or-treating by himself.
Yeah.
Too many perverts.
Yeah. And
yeah.
My 16-year-old is not... My 17-year-old... Shit, even my 18-year-old, none of them are going to go anywhere by themselves on a night in a state where people are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Shut
up. All right, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will be talking about tonight's movie. It is a It's Jordan Peele's very first movie. First movie he wrote and directed. Movie is called Get Out. And we'll be talking about that and reviewing that. So stay tuned.
Behind the Screen, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show. Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Oh, right.
Are we live?
Yeah. Looks like we're having a bit of an issue with our soundboard.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. But, I mean...
threw them all off guard. But...
I'll eventually just start ignoring. All right, so tonight we are talking about Phil's very first movie, Get Out. Are we okay?
It's a little spotty.
Okay.
Anyway,
unless we're going to get in this condition.
Watch the table.
All right. So yeah.
How
so.
The table
so we got first introduced to Jordan Peele other than the show Key and Peele.
Yeah,
well,
that's
where he's
seen
from.
It forever, but.
Right. But as a writer director, we first got introduced to him kind of by accident.
Yeah, it was by accident.
It was
completely
by accident, because you and I had gone on a date night last year, back when we could actually go out on a date.
Yeah, we would have done that in like 6 months.
It's been more like a year. But we went to go see the movie Venom.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any seats available that you and I could sit together at.
Yeah, it was like sold out.
Yeah, if they were, they were like right up at the front of the screen, and we're like, well, we don't really want to do that. Let's find another movie. And we looked at the movie Us, which wasn't highly advertised.
Mm-mm.
You saw the movies and stuff like that, but it was just kind of one of those movies that you're like, that would be interesting to see. And might go to the theater. I'll watch it.
But we were already at the theater. We had to find something to watch. It was like that or some other weird crap romantic movie.
Yeah, so we're like, let's go ahead and check out Us, because there wasn't a whole lot of people there. And we went, and it was honestly one of the best date night movies you and I had been on.
It turned out to be an amazing movie.
It was probably one of the best movies that I have in the genre, that's it.
Edward, if it comes on, or I don't know, for whatever reason, we can't watch like normal streaming services, and so we're flipping through movies, and we find that, and we decide we're going to watch it. Like, I'm just excited to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those movies where you're not like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. What's going to happen, because you need to find those little clues, because you know what has happened, but there's clues there that you want to pick up on, and you're like, oh, that makes complete and total sense. It makes and transforms the entire movie.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like this movie is, Get Out.
Yes.
So we saw it at Target, I think, the other day. You know, it was inexpensive, because I've been wanting to see it for a while, and I was being cheap. I didn't want to pay the $5-$7 to rent it, but I'll pay $10 to buy it, because it's got the special features and stuff like that. And so we decided to, you know, make it this week's movie, and I'll tell you, it does not disappoint. With this being the movie he wrote and directed, it feels like a didn't mean to interrupt you, but we just went live yet. So, I do want to apologize. I honestly have no fucking clue what is going on.
We are trying to work it out. If you listened on the Great Speech, there were a couple.
From what we were told.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. All I was going to say was that this critic said it was truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen, a complete fraud. And I thought that was interesting because of who he is,
mm-hmm.
In light of how the movie is.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah. It's not a fraud, though. Like, it's not a fraud. And let's be realistic. We talked about it last night. The message behind the movie, or the underlying tones in the movie, they're not fraudulent. They're very real.
So Jordan Peele, in the special features for this movie, he said that his main purpose for this movie was to get people talking.
And it worked.
It did. I mean, so, okay. Let's just get it out there. There is a not so underlying, but kind of blanket theme for the movie. There is an underlying theme of racism in the movie. It's not blatantly in your face. It's not we hate these people. It's we want to be better, and it's more of a jealousy, which is I think what you said last night.
Absolutely. It shows. So if we take all of the narrative that we've heard in the last year, because it's really been pretty vocal in the last year, take all that narrative out. And we look at, because this does not apply to everybody, does not apply to every Caucasian, it does not apply to every African-American, but the group that it does apply to, when we look at the hatefulness and the racism that's attached to it, it makes more sense.
Well, the thing is, one thing you got to think of, this movie was made in 2017.
Right, but...
So, it was before all this...
I'm saying, though, like, that group, like, it makes more sense. Remember when you were growing up and you would get bullied or, you know, this girl over here calls me ugly and fat every day? Well, obviously, she's jealous of something and she's unhappy in her life. And then we look at this movie, and it's the same platform. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these people who are old, broke, white, don't have any skill in certain areas, and they look at these young, virile African-American males.
And females.
Males.
No, there was a female in there.
That female was the maid. That's where he clicked. It was the maid, hair down and looking all pretty.
Right, but they...
But she's the grandma.
Yeah,
she had been hired.
Spoiler.
They were hired to take care of them, so that's different. 90%
right.
of this was aimed at men.
Well, okay. So let's back up, because the maid... hold on, because I need to correct something that you said.
Okay.
The maid and the groundskeeper, when she said they were hired... That's just a cover story.
Yeah.
Because you see in the pictures that she seduced
the young
black woman and seduced the other man, and they did the transmutation or whatever
it
is from the grandma and grandpa into those two.
Right, okay. Well, it's two sides of the coin, though. So you've got the old Caucasian men.
Yeah.
Who are falling apart. They've never really had skill. They kind of suck at some things. And they look at these young African-American men who they feel like have been given gifts.
Yeah.
That they never got.
Right.
And they want them.
Yeah.
Then if you look at their old whitey wives, they're jealous for a whole different reason. And it's kind of gross. But... that's really where it centered on. There was a lot of jealousy.
Right. And you can see it right before the garden party scene. Okay, so I'm going to put this out there.
There are spoilers all throughout, by the way.
Yeah. We're not going to hold anything back.
This is your first show. I don't know what to tell you. Anybody who's listened to us more than two or three times knows that you should probably watch the movie
because we can't really hold back the spoilers while we're discussing it. So, okay. So you can tell.
It's also 3 years old.
Yeah, like you should have seen
it
by now.
Yeah. I mean, we can't say anything. We literally just watched it last night.
Yeah.
But we didn't get turned on to Jordan Peele until Us.
Right.
Yeah. I also was already sort of spoiled for this movie. I knew the concept.
I knew the concept, but I didn't know the execution.
I didn't know the concept. I knew that it was, you know, there were some racial issues involved with it.
Right.
And it was an uncomfortable situation. I didn't really know anything beyond that.
Yeah. So,
I didn't think it was that at all. I thought it was going to be something like...
brainwashing and stuff like that?
No, like I thought there was going to be like a fucking demon or something. That was scary. I didn't
like devil worshipping?
I didn't think I was going to have to sit there and think about why the fucking world is burning. Like...
But that's the beauty of Jordan Peele, though. You know, I mean, he has literally only done two movies, and the two movies that he's done have such an impact on how we here at this table think. Because, and we'll get to the garden party scene here in a minute.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what Jordan Peele said in the interview on his special features, is that he wanted people to, you know, have discussions about racism after this movie, which is exactly what it did. I mean, after the movie, you and I went out and we talked about the movie. We talked about the underlying themes in the movie, which brought us into the conversation about the current racial tensions and the current racial scene in the United States right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you and I have different views on different things and why different things
Absolutely.
Are happening.
We also have different backgrounds in different cultures.
This is true. But it did bring us to that discussion. And which is what this movie was supposed to do. But it was a good discussion to have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had discussions about it before. But it's always nice to be able to watch a movie and it makes you think.
Yes.
And it puts you on that path where you're like, you know, some of this could very easily be possible in some form. But we know that there are white people out there
that are crazy like this,
that are jealous of the community because of their athletic prowess and their skills and stuff like that. And you know, that I'm not saying that's all that, you know, they have to offer.
And it's very stereotypical.
It is.
It's even seen in the movie of the other one who's very large.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Ann thought was he eats dog food. She was pouring a bowl of cereal.
Okay.
Yeah, she thought whenever he was pouring the dog food, she was like, oh, I was pulling for a cereal.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to see him eat dog food now.
But you're right, there was a huge underlying theme of jealousy of the older white community to the younger black community, and that's where that, I don't want to say slight, but that, you know, that underpinning of racism comes. And we see how, you know, the older white males, older, wealthier white males reacted to how they reacted to Chris. And we see that all the time in society. You know, there are people that are very uncomfortable and don't know how to act around different cultures because they're not 100% fully exposed to that culture.
Right.
And they don't want to risk offending that culture by saying something odd when literally all you have to do is just talk to everybody, no matter what your race, creed, national origin is, just like a regular human being. All you have to do is literally talk to them.
Right.
The thing was picking up on the fact that the dad, as soon as Chris walked in the door, he started saying, "My man." And I was wondering, I was thinking, that's really weird, but I also don't know who this person is, so maybe he just says that all the time.
Yeah.
And then she was like, "I can't believe he started doing that." And I was like, yeah, I called her.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah, like, Rose was, Rose was even saying, like you said, Rose was saying that. Yeah, he doesn't really say that, which was kind of driving home the uncomfortableness that Chris was feeling.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the party scene?
No, we're talking about
when he came.
When he first came.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, was, they were cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But I would like to get to the party scene, so go ahead.
Okay, well, so the guy who played Chris.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go ahead and say his name because I don't want to fuck up his last name.
Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya.
He's not Hawaiian.
Okay, I'm going to go look up the
K A L U U Y A.
He said that he can relate to the party scene because that party scene is just like, oh, I've been in that party. I'm going to that party. Like, that kind of racism isn't seen as racism. It isn't seen as kind of like mainstream racism. It's just life. And to explore that was really uncomfortable. It was a really uncomfortable conversation. And Jordan just spoke his truth. He cinematically articulated an experience that millions of people go through, and they are made to feel crazy for going through it. But he just said, no, actually, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Like, because what do we call it? Like, it's no different than let's take black and white. It's no different than being a part and people knowing that you are a tribal member. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, I really want to go to a powwow. I've heard those are really cool.
A microaggression.
Do you dress up in all your tribe? Do you wear a dress? That's beautiful. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's an uncomfortable situation where you're just like,
I'm a fucking human, and
I go to work, and I come home, and I do my shit, but thanks, no, I wear the headdress every day, all day.
Yeah, it's the racial microaggressions that are the little underpinnings of not understanding the culture, but not taking the time to understand the culture.
And then it's kind of the same on the other side of it. Like, for me, unfortunately, I'm literally the fairest-skinned person in all of my cousins, in all of my generation, in my family, which is fucking huge, by the way. And so it would be like going to parties, you know, or going on the reservation for a powwow and people saying, you know, hey, who are you here with? And me saying, hey, that's my aunt and that's my cousin and that's my mom. And, oh, like, you didn't look like you were part of the tribe. Okay, well, fuck you. Back off. It's rude. It's rude, people. It's rude. Keep your little, like, non-needed comments to yourself. We get it. Their skin is beautiful. What do you use on your hair? Great. Awesome. Nobody actually needs to make the comments.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? My name is. How are you? What is your name? What do you do for work? We don't need, oh, that makes sense because I bet you're really good at basketball.
Yeah.
Like, that's rude.
Yeah. Oh, you're black and tall? I bet you're really good at basketball.
Yeah.
Actually, I suck at basketball. So
you went into art. Why don't you play basketball?
Right. Yeah. Or like,
yeah.
What sports are you into? Is it football or basketball? Well, it's actually golf, but cool.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Oh, you play. I know Tiger Woods. I have a black friend.
Yes. It's those little undertone comments for any culture that just aren't needed.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
And I mean, I'm sorry to say it, and I'll be the first to admit it. 90% of the time, it's whites that do it.
It really is. Like you're so ignorant to other cultures that somehow your mama didn't teach you how to speak to humans, and you got to make some shit ass comment.
Going up to a Chinese guy and being like, "Hey, can you teach me how to make
rice?
Fried rice?" How do you make those chops?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I literally put it in a bowl in a microwave and press 10.
Do you eat the squids when they're still alive? I've heard you do. Is there really cat in the food?
Yeah.
Really cats. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I heard that English people eat horse, but, like, do the cat thing exist?
But you're right. It's no different than the other side doing it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like a black guy coming up to me and saying, oh, you're white. Are you really good at golf?
Do you burn a lot? And I've actually seen that on the other side. Like, I actually witnessed going to the beach and being a family over here, and there was a very dark, like they had very dark skin over here. And somebody walking by them, because they were putting sunblock on their kids and saying, well, you don't burn, do you? Are you stupid? We all burn, bitch!
Yeah, skin just
It hurts just as bad.
Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I had a, and this kind of goes along the same thing as what you're saying. There was a point in time where, I don't like the way this is going to come out.
Because it always comes out.
It does. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we were talking about our different races and the difference between our races. And we were having
different.
Yeah, we were having a discussion, you know, when I was asking him, because I was ignorant and so was he, because he'd grown up in predominantly black. I'd grown up in predominantly white. And this is me as a kid, you know, like middle
school.
Little
kids actually have way better conversations about those topics than adults do.
So I was asking him, you know, how do you do your hair and stuff like that, because I didn't know. And I asked him, I was like, you know, so out of curiosity, do you still burn? And it was like, oh, yeah, we burn. You can't see it, but we burn, and it hurts. And I was like, yeah, like, I'll get real red and stuff like that.
Here's the thing. With white people, you can see that they're burnt. You probably shouldn't walk up and slap them on the shoulder. And then you've got this dude over here, and you're like, how you feeling? I mean, it hurts. Does it? Because I can't see it. You smack him on the arm. Of course, that's joking. It's joking. I did it to a friend. It was funny. It fucking hurt, but he laughed. He's like, you're a bitch. I know you can't see the shit, but it's there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I have those conversations with, like, Joby.
Yeah.
We're very different. He's 100% Native. I'm, like, 10% Native.
Right. And there is nothing wrong with having those frank discussions with people of a different culture, just so you get to know their culture. There's nothing wrong with expanding your mind.
No, but it is literally all about the approach. How you approach somebody and how your tone of voice is. And if you actually thought the question through, like, think in your head, when I speak this out loud, am I going to sound like a complete ignorant jackass?
Well, no, it's not. It is part that, but it's if I asked this question this way, how would I feel if he asked it to me?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, whenever you gain knowledge any other way, it's always gaining knowledge from a book or peers.
Right.
You shouldn't gain it from somebody you just met.
No. You shouldn't just walk up to some random dude on the street and be like, hey, you burn?
That's the thing, though. And
what this movie was all about was meeting all these people, and they were saying these really odd things.
Awkward. It was awkward.
You should never say.
But we understood, you know, as the movie progressed, understood why they were acting the way they were.
What I loved, though, was...
They were awkward white people.
They were very awkward white people.
What I loved, though, was you could literally feel Chris's awkwardness.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost unscripted. Like, he walked into a situation not knowing what they were going to ask him or say to him, and you could feel that, you could see him, like, drawing inside of himself, like, what the fuck? Why would you ask me that? What are you saying?
There was a point, I don't remember what the question was, but there was a point in the movie where somebody said something to Chris, and he was like, I'm just going to walk away from this.
Yeah.
The last one, it was...
Was it the golf guy?
For the last 300 years... Caucasians have been. Fair skin. Black is in season.
Yeah.
Black
is in fashion.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm gonna go take
some pictures.
I was expecting like the Tiger Woods thing, like that. That makes sense. Like it's like that kind of half awkward, half I'm trying to impress you. I don't know.
Which is really
right
weird.
Now.
Like, God, remember this movie. Should any of our beautiful, very, very fair-skinned children ever bring home a very beautiful, dark-skinned person in our home, we don't want to impress them. Not Russell Wilson up in this house as the first conversation.
And DK Metcalf are my boys. I've got them on my fantasy.
No.
It'd be me. They're my homeboys.
Oh,
my G-mans.
Oh, don't ever be that dad, though. Like, I don't want to be that mom. I feel like I sometimes am just awkward anyway that I would be like, hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm going to go take dinner. Because I just want to walk away now. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
I mean, I know the white boys over there, but I'm native, sort of. I'm like 25%. I know you're very dark, and I'm not, but...
But
you know, I lived on a reservation.
Did you?
Look, Jordan Peele did it to us. He made us talk about...
And that's the thing.
And racial issues and racial tensions and racism.
But it's with every movie. And it's not necessarily always about race, but every movie that we have seen that he does.
All two of them.
Both of them, though, like, they definitely incite conversation. It doesn't matter what it's about.
Right. Like, Us didn't really have a...
It was just unique. Us was so in-your-face unique that... There was nothing but conversation about it.
Yeah, we literally did a 3-hour show on Us, and we could have done more.
I was only there for 2 hours because I couldn't have done more.
But, and that's one of the things that I really love about Jordan Peele. And you know, we've only seen two of his movies. But to me, he has... That looks actually kind of good on you.
Yeah, I know. It looks better on her because it's like...
But his movies get you talking and they get you involved in what, in the message, in
whatever he's
message,
trying to say,
but it also relates to you in another sort of way. Like the guy that did the interview that said, oh, it was crap. And
it was blah, blah, blah. Fraud.
Yeah. That just shows your character.
It literally is the most ignorant statement that I've ever heard, because if it made you that uncomfortable and literally the only thing you were seeing...
If the racial issues made you that uncomfortable, then...
All you saw was an attack on being white, then you're not paying attention and you weren't watching the movie.
You weren't paying attention to the movie.
It was an attack, though.
It was an attack on... racism within society. It wasn't an attack as a whole. Yes, it wasn't an attack on white people.
And it wasn't even an attack. It was a statement.
You're right. And that's a better way to describe
it.
It
really wasn't.
Sort of a pernicious thing.
While those people sounded ignorant when they spoke, the reality is that those situations literally happen
all the time.
It wasn't saying all people. It was saying those people, those particular people, were being ignorant.
Yeah.
And
there are people like that out there, and that those uncomfortable situations happen. This is
obviously being aggressive about it.
Yes.
It happens
passive aggressive comments that get made. And that's what they were much more aggressively, but that's what
okay, hey, we're back again because we got disconnected again.
Can anybody explain to me why the number and everything is based out of New York, but the lady sounds British?
I don't know.
Okay.
So
there's a scene. Do you remember the scene where he decided, like, he obviously it was after the hypnotism from the mom?
Yes.
No, it was before. It was when he stepped outside to smoke a cigarette.
Right.
And he's standing there, and, like, very far off, you see somebody running at him.
It's Walter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's, like, running at him, and he's going to, like, come into the screen. And he said that the scene where Walter is running at Chris and the audience at full speed, it was a nod toward the power of depth in films. And he cited North by Northwest, which was 1959, as an example of this technique, stating somebody running at you or towards you, you just create a visceral and physical reaction to the audience, and it does. Because I was waiting. Like,
I was
moving very quickly.
So
I was so confused by
this. He was using his newfound athletic ability. Like, he was just getting out and moving.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I will say that there were... parts of this movie that made me uncomfortable, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the underlying pinning of racism in the movie.
Not even a little bit?
No, not even a little bit. No, no.
Not accounting for any of it at all?
None. I'll tell you why. So the parts that made me uncomfortable and gave me anxiety were, the main one was when he was first being hypnotized.
That made me, oh, I have a good one for that too.
So, and I want to get into this a little bit before you get into your fun fact.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
So he's sitting there and we see that she's, you know, we know that she's going to start to hypnotize him.
Right.
We think that it's going to be because of the smoking and stuff. But, you know, there's also that uncomfortableness with how the rest of the African-American people are acting within the movie.
Right.
They were acting
really weird. I don't know what they expected of them or if they were just trying to make them so-called high class, but they were very weird. And watching...
Well, they were white people in black bodies.
Right, but watching the mask begin to fall with the maid,
yeah,
it was really creepy.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. There were parts in there that you're like, holy shit, this is, there's something else going on. But when she says, you know, sink into the chair, and he's like, no, and she does the...
Sink into the floor.
And she does the thing, and then he sinks back, and we see pan away from the TV screen.
Yes.
The reality and him falling back and not being able to control himself. Okay, so I have this huge fear of being out of control.
Oh, yeah.
Of not being able, like, to the point where I don't get drunk.
I don't get drunk, I just get sleepy.
No, I'm saying, like, I control my alcohol intake to the point to where I don't become out of control.
Right.
Mine
is a different reaction to yours, whereas, like, because I know that occasionally I cross that line.
Right.
But I recognize it, and I'll hide. Because I want somebody to see it.
Right, right.
I know
but
what's happening,
yeah.
So now I have to go away.
And that's why, so, I mean, I'll put it out on the radio, I don't care.
That's not a call.
You know.
It's soda.
So, a couple weeks ago.
Go ahead. Go for it.
A couple weeks ago, I, you know, smoked.
What were we talking about?
Mr. Oregano.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to lie. I smoked.
Oh,
you
shouldn't lie.
He smoked Mr. Oregano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been a long, long, long time for me. And I did a little too much.
He went too hard, too fast.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah. And I had a bad trip.
It was like 21st birthday bullshit, like where everybody's buying you shots and you're like, ooh, it tastes yummy. So I'm just going to keep doing it. And then all of a sudden, all 21 shots hit all at once. I'm sure the Godfather knows about that.
But I was...
Yeah, that's how he was.
Yeah. For me, I can't relax enough to just let myself go, which is why it's very hard for me to fall asleep. Like, I have to have distractions to fall asleep. I have to have the TV on. I can't just lay there and just fall asleep because I don't like – I am such a control freak when it comes to my own consciousness.
And everybody else's.
No, but when it comes to my own consciousness that I don't like to let go, I can't relax. And that was my problem when I smoked because I could feel myself start to go and I was like, no, 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 which caused me to have anxiety, which caused me to have paranoia, which caused me to have a bad trip all night.
Yeah.
You're never allowed to have peyote.
No,
I would
no.
like some, but no.
No.
My spirit animal is fear.
It's trying to eat me.
My spirit animal is a squirrel. It's trying to eat my face.
It doesn't even want to help me. It just wants to attack.
But when every time that we saw him fall onto the floor, it gave me so much anxiety because it's that loss of control, and we're feeling that with Chris as he loses control.
Well, yeah, because he was also paralyzed. Like, he couldn't speak. He couldn't really do anything.
Yeah, and I don't like that either. That's why it's very hard for me to go for surgery. Like,
I don't do surgery.
You have to put me under.
You better give me Valium before you even attempt to stick a needle in my arm to tell me I'm going under.
Yeah. Like, my last surgery, and I explained this to them. You know, I don't go under well, and I definitely don't come out of surgery, like, come out of anesthesia well. So, when I had my last surgery, I don't know what they gave me, but they gave me...
That's bad.
I mean...
It's probably dilaudid.
I worked with the anesthesiologists and the nurse anesthetists that were there during my surgery. But they gave me something to help me relax before they put me completely under. And I remember...
It's probably dilaudid.
Probably. It's dilaudid. It's good for me.
It's good for everybody.
But I remember just kind of laying there and then all of a sudden just kind of being like woozy, like kind of just being relaxed. And I remember... Because one of the nurse anesthetists was actually somebody that I talked to on a regular basis. And it was like, yep, there you go. There he goes. And I just went out. But I was talking to one of the nurse anesthetists that was there when they brought me out. And he was telling me, yeah, you came up swinging.
I was actually there when you came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, they said, you know, you can wake him up. And I said... No, I'll sit over there.
No, I was swinging in the OR. But the nurse anesthetist said that, you know, as I was coming out, I was fighting them. Like, I almost clocked. He said, you almost clocked me in the jaw. Like, I literally came up swinging. He was like, yeah, you almost hit me. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, hey,
in the
not
room,
something
he was trying
that
to
I've
tear everything out of his body. And I was like, whoa, I need somebody else in here.
Yeah, that happened with my other finger surgery, too.
It was like, I'm not actually doing that. Y'all don't get paid. I don't.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Chris is under him. No, the first time he ended up crying.
Jordan Peele or Chris? Okay.
He states there was a point in the process where I got to someone that was very vulnerable. The fun evolved into tears. I mean, when I was writing about the hypnosis and the sunken place, I ended up crying. That was fun. Tells you how he gets
into
not only his movies, but his characters and the people that are working with him and for him.
Yeah.
That'd be creepy, though. You just fucking went to go write something for a movie and started crying about it.
Yeah. Like, there was, and that, again, this speaks volumes to how Jordan Peele is as a writer and director, because I don't get a lot of anxiety from movies. Like, I have seen some of the creepiest, weirdest, scariest movies out there. And they haven't affected me.
Yeah.
But when you have a movie that gives me that much anxiety to where, like, I thought I was, like, there was a point where I thought I would have to stop it. But I didn't want to because I wanted the full effect of the movie. We stopped it early before it really started picking up because I needed something to drink. I had to pee. I wanted a cigarette. You know.
I had to pee.
I think part of it for him was...
When he looks at the meaning, because he wrote this, so when he looks at the meaning of the sunken place, he has said that the sunken place for him means we're marginalized. No matter how hard we scream, the system silences us.
Yes.
And he's not, I don't know that he's saying that specific, and he might be saying that specifically as a black man. And I would tend to agree on a level.
But that should
he's
be
not
for...
really in your face about it, though, but his feelings.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we believe as a society. For him personally, that was how he feels about it.
Right.
And so it affected him in that way. And I think
but that could be
that's
for
right.
that could be for anybody, because there are certain places. Okay, we're back. A little bit.
Okay. Super quick, before anything happens, if we get cut off again, that will end the show for tonight. We're sorry for the technical difficulties. We are trying to get it worked out as usual with Blog Talk. They have a monopoly on how we broadcast, and we don't really have another platform to go with. So that's what we have. But back to the appeal.